Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're here this evening. It's Sunday, November 23rd, 2025. And this week, a lot of people are thinking about giving thanks, and I hope they're thinking about giving thanks to God.
I know.
Because so many times we get wrapped up in these things, and we really need to take time, Ed, on a daily basis to thank God for the things that he does for us.
You know, I was talking to a client this last week, a lady that I was just doing a treatment on. Mm-hmm. I hadn't done the evaluation, never seen her before. And at the end, I had explained to her a lot about what I thought was going on with her body and had gotten a skeleton out and showed her, and she thanked me for that. And she mentioned something that, you know, we need to be thankful for the things that God has given us.
Amen. It's so important.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that we really think about, you know, coming up on that week, a lot of people will be reflecting on being thankful, I think. And some people just like to watch the games and eat turkey.
Right.
Now, I don't mind eating turkey, believe me. But it's interesting that it's just this time of year that people will start to reflect. But I try actually every day, you know, especially when I'm walking. You know, I'm so grateful to live in an area where we live. We live here in Virginia. It's a beautiful place. Crime is practically non-existent when it comes to major crimes.
Right.
And I'm so grateful to live here. And so every morning that I walk, I'm giving a prayer of thanks to God for the health that I have, for how I feel, for the ministry that we get to do, for where we live, for the wife that God gave me. You know, there's so many things in our lives, even if we have health issues, if we feel bad, God makes life enjoyable for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And so giving thanks to God is just so important, and it's not just one time a year. And it bothers me that this is about the only time of year that people really slow down and begin to do that. But I just want to encourage people to try to do that on a daily basis.
What you're talking about is just giving God a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving.
Amen. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, we have so much to be grateful for. His Word, the Bible, which that's what we're here to study this evening. We're going to study His Word like we do each week here on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. every Sunday. And, Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope.
Well, right now we're in a chilly portion of Virginia.
Yeah, we are.
And we've been in Stanton, Virginia since this location since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed us with a place to do ministry, this office that we have that we're recording in right now.
Yeah.
And our mission is to preach the gospel, to point people to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for salvation, for a change in their hearts and minds, a change in their life, for victory in their life, over whatever you may be encountering in your life.
So true.
And so we have services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. For prayer time / Bible study. We have our church service on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, Saturday, where we have a Bible study called Sabbath School at 9:30. And then we have our worship hour at 11.
Yeah, and what's nice is if you would like to join us, you can tune in via Zoom. And if you'd like to be able to do that, to get the Zoom link for Sabbath School and for that Bible study, how would somebody contact you, Ed?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
And you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. And also on our website, if you can't remember our names, it's office@prophecyhope.com. Almost forgot that. And on our website, you will find these programs archived. As Ed said, we record these, and we try to do this every week. And if you've missed one, or if you'd like to go back, or if you have a topic that you'd like to hear, type it in the search bar, and hopefully there's been maybe a sermon on it or a radio program that we've done on that topic. And if not, hey, send us an email and ask the question, and we'll keep your information private. We don't share it with anyone, and we'll try to answer the question from the Bible. Sometimes we just have to say, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
There's really no Bible answer for some things that we that people ask. Right. And we're always going to try to be honest and come at it from a Bible approach and all of those things. The other thing is we're so grateful that Ray Powers has opened up this platform. He did this years ago to allow people to be able to allow us to be able to come on here and speak Bible truth without being censored. It's really a rare find today to be able to just speak and open God's word and just say what needs to be said. And so, you know, it's a blessing, and we're grateful to Ray Powers for giving us this time slot. Last thing that I wanted to mention is, you know, on the I just forgot it. It just flew out of my head that quick. There was something else I wanted to state. Let's see, what was I saying, Ed? We were talking about the program. Thanking Ray Powers for allowing us on the program. It's gone, but that's all right. I guess, Ed, I must be getting older.
Yeah.
So is there any other business that we need to take care of before we... Oh, that's what it was. Bibles. We offer Bibles to people. So if you would like a copy of the Bible, if you don't have one, send us an email and we'll try to get you a Bible. And I think that's it. I just wanted to make sure I got that in there. So are we ready to start? You want to have a prayer?
So. All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're so thankful that you have given us this opportunity to open your word, the Bible, to find hope in our lives, to find a better way of living, to find salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, as we study about the life of Jesus today, give us wisdom and understanding to see what he experienced on this earth, to give us hope in our lives, and that, Father, you would guide us by the Spirit of truth. Father, I ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, Ed, where were we last week? We've been studying the life and ministry of Jesus for the last 2 weeks.
Right. So we've been looking at some of the information that the Bible provides about the birth of Christ. Mm-hmm. And about his early years, we studied last week about his interaction in the temple at age 12 with the teachers and Pharisees.
Right.
And we talked a little bit about, you know, I don't remember everything.
That's okay.
But I know where I want to go.
Okay.
So let's go to Matthew chapter 3.
All right. Matthew 3.
And the past few months, we've studied about the difference between the baptism of John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus. We're just going to review a little bit the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17.
All right.
And I'm going to read this from the Modern King James. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. But John restrained him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' And answering, Jesus said unto them, 'Allow it for now, for it is becoming to us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. And Jesus, when he had been baptized, went up immediately out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Hmm. So this is the baptism of Jesus. And this is what Jesus says to John. He says, "Allow it, for it is becoming to us to fulfill our righteousness." Hmm. So this is the reason that Jesus was baptized, not only to point John that Jesus is the Christ,
right?
Because John testifies that he was told that to look for the one that the Spirit descends on and remains on.
Okay.
And so this is part of the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I think did we last week, you know, I don't have any notes. I typically don't take notes. But last week, did we look at what happened, how he was led into the wilderness? Didn't we? Did
yeah,
we look
I think
at
we
that?
Need to go there. I don't remember, Mark. I'm sorry. John 1:33, this is what John says, John the Baptist. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water, that one said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I saw and bore record that this is the Son of God. So this was a sign to John. John the Baptist had never met Jesus before, even though they were related. His mother, Elizabeth, was Mary, the mother of Jesus, cousin.
Right. So that makes John and Jesus cousins.
Yeah somehow. Like,
yeah, yeah. They're related just further down the line.
Yeah.
So, you know, talking about forgetting, I just want to state this. I will try to take notes and we'll do better at remembering. We do so much ministry.
Yeah.
Because, Ed, you have individual Bible studies that you right. do, and I do as well. And for those, I keep notes. And you would think that if we're on the air each week, that I would have something written down. But we will get better at this, friends.
All right, so when we look at this account after Jesus' baptism, let's go back to Luke chapter 4. I mm-hmm. think we talked about this already.
Yep. It's coming to you, isn't it?
That Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Remember, God gave Christ his Spirit, mm-hmm. and it remained on him. And it was his Father, God, Jehovah, Yahweh. He's the one that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Sure.
And after that, I think we read Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee.
Yeah.
And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified. And then we read Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up.
Right.
That's where Jesus was raised as a child. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read.
Yep, and we looked at that text in Isaiah.
Jesus right? kept the Sabbath.
Yes, he did, on the seventh day.
Yeah, and verse 17, like you said, in the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me."
Mm-hmm.
He had been baptized. The Spirit of God was put on him and remained on him, according to the witness of John the Baptist. "Because of this, he has anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor." Mm-hmm. The reason for the Spirit of the Lord to be on him, which he was anointed with, was to proclaim the gospel to the poor. "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance to the captives, and to a new sight to the blind, and to set liberty at those having been crushed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Verse 20 of Luke 4 says this, "And rolling up the book, returning it to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, the scripture in Isaiah that he was quoting." He's telling people, "I've been anointed by my Father, I've received his Spirit, and now I'm beginning my ministry to proclaim the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives." We've talked about that. That's
yes.
the prison house of Satan, to bring them out of the prison house, to give light to those that are in the darkness,
yes.
and to set at liberty those having been crushed.
It's so true that the statement there that he came to bring liberty to the captives, to heal the sick. You know, Jesus makes a statement in Mark chapter 2. He says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Yes.
So, you know, this we're all sick with sin, every single one of us.
Right.
And that's the thing. He came to call us to repentance. And this is something that we don't talk about a whole lot in this world is repentance. Repentance. What does that mean?
Repentance is actually not only sorrow and confession of sins, but is turning away from sin.
Turning away.
And removing sin from your life.
Amen. And we've spent a lot of time over the years talking about how we can do that. And the things that you have sounded down in the past weeks, you know, we looked at the baptism of Jesus. So in some of these things that we're talking about, you can go back in the programs and you can see the difference between the baptism of John and the mm-hmm. baptism of Jesus. Ed, you did a tremendous study on that. And it really, I think it would benefit people if you didn't hear those programs to listen to them and read those texts in your own Bible.
Right. So let's go to Mark chapter 1, and we've read a little bit of this already in last week, I believe. If mm-hmm. you could read Mark, Mark.
Yeah, I can
Mark
do that.
Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20.
Okay, here we go. Mark, let me get this open here. Mark chapter 1, and what were the verses again?
14 through 20.
All right. So here in my Bible, it has a heading here. It says, Jesus begins his Galilean ministry. That's what it says. So it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We just talked about that word, repent. Verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after them. How far do you want me to read?
Through 20.
Oh, so we're there. Okay.
Yeah. So here we have Jesus beginning his ministry, and he's calling these men, these fishermen, to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a little bit more information on this in John chapter 1.
I would like to point something out here, Ed. It's so important. In verse 15, Jesus' words, he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. But notice the last words in there. It doesn't just say, believe in me.
Uh-huh.
It says, repent and believe in the gospel.
Yeah.
So, this word repent that we mentioned just a moment ago is so important because so many people say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe him. I believe he's my Lord and Savior. Does your lifestyle show that you truly believe that he is your Lord and Savior? Because repentance is, it's just as much a part of this as believing.
Well, sure. If we recall the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
you know, Christ has been raised from the dead, he spent time with his disciples, he tells them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, and it's been poured out. Christ receives the promise from the Father and pours out the Spirit upon the disciples. And Peter begins to preach because there's a crowd gathered because they've heard all this noise and they can't believe these men are speaking languages mm-hmm. from their own native languages. And they're hearing these words, and they don't understand what's going on. So Peter preaches to them. And in Acts 2:37, 36, let all the house of Israel know surely that God made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And hearing this, they were stabbed in the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, men, brothers, what shall we do?
Mm.
And Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
So that's what this verse here in Mark is pointing to. This is what we must do.
It's the beginning of the gospel being effective in your life. Repentance.
Yes.
Being sorrow for sin in your life. Sin is simply disobedience from God's law. And it's not difficult. You know, God's law says, do not steal.
Right.
if that's an issue in your life, repent from that. You know,
absolutely. Stop doing it.
Yeah.
And there are ways that God and His Son will help you to overcome those things.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that at length.
Yeah, so this is an important part of Jesus' ministry. This He was proclaiming at the very beginning of His ministry to repent and believe the gospel, believe what He's telling them, believe what He's teaching them. So you just read in Mark chapter 1 about Jesus calling His disciples. So I want to go to John chapter 1 and start in verse 35.
Okay.
Let me just go there, verses from my notes.
So that's John 1 and verse 35.
Verse 35. Remember, Jesus has been baptized.
Right.
And He received the Spirit. Verse 35 says, again, the next day afterwards. So this is the day after Jesus' baptism.
Okay.
John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples. What would you say is a good definition of a disciple?
A disciple would be one who follows Christ or walks after Him, does what He does.
Right. And so John the Baptist had his own disciples, people that helped him in his ministry that God had given him to do.
Mm-hmm.
So John stood with two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God."
That's an important text.
Yeah.
That's a very important text to me.
And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. Remember, they were John's disciple, John the Baptist's disciples, and they heard John declare this about Jesus as Jesus walked by. "Behold, the Lamb of God." So these two disciples that heard Him say this, they started following Jesus. Verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to Him, "Rabbi," which is called, being translated, teacher, "where do you live?" He says to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where He lived and stayed with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two who heard John and followed Him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother.
Mm-hmm.
He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being translated, "the Christ." And Christ means anointed Messiah.
Right, that's right.
Jesus being anointed by the Spirit of God. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah, and you shall be called Caiaphas," which translated is "a stone."
Yeah, mine says, the translation here is Cephas, which is translated a stone. That's what it says.
So, you know, you had read earlier that Jesus came upon Peter and his brother Andrew fishing, as well as John and James.
Right.
And that was later, after this initial contact with Jesus that Peter and Andrew had. So let's keep reading, because it talks about more disciples here. Can you read verses 43 through 51?
Sure. One thing I'd like to point out is that these men, like you pointed out, they were fishing. They were fishermen.
Yeah.
Common men like you and me. You know, I'm a mechanic,
uh-huh.
Right? I don't have a higher education. And these men were fishermen. They had a trade. And that's really what fishing is. It's a trade. It's a really difficult job. It can be.
Right.
And so we don't need a degree to be a follower of Jesus.
No.
We don't have to have a special education or be a special person. He came for every person.
Don't let any preacher, any pastor, any teacher say you can't understand God's word.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Because you can. God will give you the understanding. All you have to do is ask for it.
Yes. So when you read these passages and you see these are people just like we are.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think people read the Bible and they think of it as all, well, these are stories. No, these are Bible accounts. These things happen. This is history recorded for us. So picking up in verse 43, we learn more about some of these other disciples. How far do you want me to read?
The end of the chapter.
Okay. So this is John chapter 1, beginning in 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, in the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Excuse me. Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and he said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
That's pretty amazing.
It really is.
Jesus was baptized. God anointed him with his spirit. Next day, Jesus saw Philip and then Simon Peter. The day after that, he saw Nathanael and Philip. And so it's just interesting that Jesus began his ministry right away by calling his disciples.
Mm.
You know, what's interesting, too, is that many people may not understand this, but if we go to Luke chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 9 through 11.
Okay. Luke 5.
It's a story where they'd been fishing all night, and they didn't catch anything.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus tells them to throw your net on the other side of the boat, and they had a big haul of fish. Verse 9 says, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the haul of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon."
Hmm.
"And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not fear. From now on you will be taking men alive,'" or being fishers of men.
Hmm.
"And bringing their boats onto the land, forsaking all things, they followed him."
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, these men that were following of Jesus, they some of them were in business together.
Right.
And many of them were brothers.
Yes.
Philip and, Andrew and Peter and James and John. And those two sets of brothers were in business with each other.
And they walked away from their livelihood to serve Jesus and to do the things that he had to do. Because these things were so important to them. That's what they did. And, you know, back in the account that we read there in John chapter 1, you know, it mentioned in, I said that verse 36, where it says, "Behold the Lamb of God," how important that is.
Yes.
So, and then later on in that same chapter, Philip found Nathanael in verse 45 that we just read a few moments ago and said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So they were familiar with the Bible. They knew what was written in the law and the prophets in the Old Testament. They knew and understood that this Lamb of God, which was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, they understood this on a level that people today don't even understand a lot of times.
Right.
And it's just, to me, when we look at this and we look at how these men, these men that just had regular jobs and just were working people, like probably all of us that are listening to this program, were just regular working people. They came to know that Jesus was the Son of God, but the religious leaders didn't want to accept it. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. You know, they had a different, they were looking for a different Messiah.
The leaders, you're saying? Yeah.
They were looking for someone to rid them of the Romans, who they were under their authority. They were looking for someone who was, I don't know, maybe rich and famous?
Maybe, yeah.
And Jesus came from a very humble background. He was born in a stable.
Can anything good come from...
Yes.
Right, and that we just read?
Well, later on in the Bible, where Nicodemus kind of counsels them about Jesus to do things according to the law, and they ask him, well, do you believe in him also? Have you ever heard any prophecy about any prophet coming out of Nazareth? Yeah. And it's funny because Isaiah talks about that, and they missed it.
Right. Do you think we'll get to that in a study about
probably
the ministry
at some
of Jesus?
Point? Okay. We're going to be pretty scattered.
But. Yeah, that's okay.
So let's go back to Mark chapter 1.
All right. Mark chapter 1.
I'm going to read verses 19 through 28. Just to give us a little context, we're going to start with what we read already. Verse 19. And when he, going farther from them there a little, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in their boats, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and he left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. And they went to Capernaum. Many people don't know this, but I think later on in Matthew, it talks about Jesus had moved from Nazareth into Capernaum, which was on the Lake of Galilee.
Okay.
And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. What day was it?
It was the Sabbath.
Yeah.
That would be the seventh day of the week.
Right.
We would call it Saturday.
Saturday. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority and not like the scribes. And in their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, what is to us and to you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you, who you are, the Holy One of God. Hmm. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, he came out of him. And all were amazed, so as to question among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For even he commands the unclean spirits with authority, and they obey him. And immediately his fame went out into all the Galilean neighborhood.
Hmm.
So let's talk about this a little bit. This unclean spirit, demon, evil spirit, whatever you want to call it, Jesus cast out.
Yes.
And this unclean spirit said, I know you, who you are, the Holy One of God.
Hmm. So it goes along with that. There's a text, I think it's in Paul's writings, that say even the demons believe.
Yeah.
Right? And they tremble. I'll find that real
All
quick.
Right. So, you know, here we have Jesus beginning his ministry. The Spirit of God has been poured out upon him at his baptism. The Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. The Spirit of God led him to proclaim the quote from Isaiah, that the Spirit of God would be poured upon him and that he would be anointed by his Father to proclaim the gospel. And he proclaimed, after he read this text in Nazareth in the synagogue, that this is being fulfilled before your very eyes today. And so we have Jesus, after calling his disciples, going to Capernaum and casting out this unclean spirit. So I want people to see this. Let's go to Matthew 16.
Sure.
To understand, this is the Spirit of God working through Christ. God's poured out His Spirit upon Him at His baptism and led Him to all these places. And now Jesus is beginning His ministry, preaching the gospel, and these miracles are being performed. So if we go to Matthew 16, actually, I'm sorry, it's Matthew 12.
Okay.
Let's go to verse 22. And if you could read 22 through 28.
Sure. Matthew chapter 12, 22 through 28. This is from the New King James. It says, "Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, 'Could this be the son of David?' Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.' But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will this kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you."
So how does Jesus cast out demons?
By the Spirit of God.
Again, this is part of His ministry. He received the Spirit of His Father at His baptism. God led Him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. He led Him to Nazareth to speak the words of Isaiah in front of the synagogue members there, proclaiming that this is the beginning of the preaching of the gospel. Jesus performed miracles by the power of the Spirit of God upon that He received. You know, these things are happening. You know, the section we just read about, they were amazed at His words, mm-hmm. how He taught. Let's go to John chapter 7. And I want to read verses, starting with verse 14. I'm not sure how far I'm going to go.
Sure.
"Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How does this man know his letters, not being taught?'" How does he know so much about the scriptures, not being taught?
This is what we were talking about.
Yes.
Right?
"And Jesus said unto them, 'My doctrine is not mine, but He who sent me.'"
Amen.
"If anyone desires to do His will," talking about His Father, "he shall know the doctrine, whether it is of God or I speak of myself. He who speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of Him who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So Jesus is proclaiming that the words He speaks are not His own.
Right.
They come from His Father.
He didn't depend on Himself. He depended on His Father for everything.
Now, remember when we were reading about Jesus calling His disciples, it was the area where He was talking to Philip and Nathaniel.
Okay.
And He said, they were quoting that this is what the person that Moses had prophesied of.
That's right. That was in, I think, John chapter 1.
Yeah. Can you go there and find that real quick?
Yeah, I think so.
Because they're quoting Deuteronomy.
Okay, let's see. John 18. John chapter 1. I believe this is where we were. And I think it's Lamb of God. I see that. Okay, yeah, this is in John chapter 1, verse 45. It says, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'"
Okay, so again, this is referring to Deuteronomy chapter 18.
Okay.
And I'm going to read to you from the Modern King James, verse 15. God is talking to Moses, and he says, Jehovah your God will raise up to you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brothers, one like me, to whom you shall listen. Now, what had happened is that the Mount Sinai, when God spoke his law, the people said, don't have God speak to us. Yeah. We can't tolerate this. We're afraid we're going to die.
Right.
And earlier in Deuteronomy 18, God says, you know, they've spoken wisely. So God speaking to Moses in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 18 says, Jehovah your God will raise up to you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brothers, one like me, to whom you shall listen, according to all that you desire of Jehovah your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let us not hear again the voice of Jehovah my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, so that I do not die. And Jehovah said to me, they have spoken well what they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet among their brothers, one like you, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall happen, whatever man will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So Jesus only spoke the doctrine of his Father, only spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak. And let's go to John chapter 12. It's so important that we know that Jesus came to do the will of his Father, that he put his trust in him. Mm-hmm. And we can see that God pouring out of his Spirit upon Christ, he's accomplishing the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Sure.
And so when we go to John chapter 12, at the end of the chapter, starting in verse 44 of John chapter 12, Jesus says this. But Jesus cries out and says, he who believes on me does not believe on me, but on him who sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, so that whosoever believes on me should not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my voice and hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is life everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. So it's so important for people to understand that Jesus came to do the work that his Father gave him to do. That it's the Spirit of God that empowers him for these miracles to occur, casting out demons, raising the dead, healing sick people. The words and doctrine that Jesus speaks come from his Father. Not only was it prophesied in the Bible, but Jesus himself tells us, these things come from my Father.
Mm-hmm.
I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. I speak the words of the one who sent me. I speak the doctrine of the one who sent me. This is the work that Jesus came to do on this earth.
Sure. And, you know, it's amazing to me, Ed, that the text that you read in Deuteronomy, I will raise up for them a prophet like you. He's speaking to Moses, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'll raise up a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to him all that I command him. And then you just read what Jesus said here.
So when Jesus tells the disciple, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, this is what he's talking about. He's doing the work his Father gave him to do. He's showing the world who God, who his God and his Father is like, his character.
Right. And really, this is, again, this comes back to, there's no excuse for any Jewish person or any Israelite to say, no, we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. And there's so much misunderstanding today that people believe that those people are God's chosen people. They once were God's chosen people. But now you and I, if we accept Christ, we can be God's chosen people.
Sure.
And it's amazing that anybody listening to this, you can be one of God's chosen people because you believe in Jesus Christ. You believe the words that are written right here that we just read.
Right.
And you accept it and you repent, and this is what it's all about. This is eternal life.
See, no one teaches these things that we've just read about today. They don't understand who Jesus is. I didn't understand this is how God was working through his son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Until I started studying and reading for myself, simply to find out more about Jesus. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And Mark, if you could just read 23 through 25, the last few verses of chapter 4 of Matthew.
Sure. Matthew 4, 23 through 25. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went through all of Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan."
You know, Jesus' ministry focused on people's needs.
Mm-hmm. It did.
And their physical needs as well as their spiritual needs.
Sure.
If you are talking with someone who's in severe pain, they're going to have trouble listening to you.
Absolutely.
They're going to have difficulty understanding what you're trying to tell them.
You can't focus when you're in a lot of pain.
Right.
You can't.
It's going to change their personality, their attitude. They get very grumpy, grouchy, and that's understandable.
Absolutely.
Because they're in so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
They're so easily irritated by things. So Jesus went about healing people from their sickness.
But
he didn't do just that. After he healed them, he instructed them into the way of salvation, into the gospel of the kingdom of God.
You know, he also fed people,
yes,
too. And that's another part. You know, if you're hungry, you're going to be grumpy and you're not going to be able to listen.
I know people that if they don't get food, watch out.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I get hungry, and it does. It can affect my mood if I'm really hungry.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've never been told that I'm a mean, hungry person.
You know, so here we have the love of God and the love of his son, Jesus Christ, meeting people with their physical needs, whether it's with diseases, being tormented and possessed by demons, those who have mental issues, paralytics, and he healed them.
Mm-hmm.
And he proclaimed the gospel, the hope of the gospel, give them hope in their lives, even after healing.
You know, whatever the disease or the infirmity is, Jesus, by the power that God gives him to do it, can heal any of them.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom, when it's established here in this world, when God's kingdom is fully in play, then there will be no sickness. There will be no death. There will be no hunger. We will be in a beautiful place, just like God had originally wanted this earth to be. And I did not forget. I'm sure some of you are saying, "Wait a minute, you never went to that text." It wasn't Paul who wrote this. It was actually in the book of James. And here's what it says: "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." So they believe in one God. The demons know that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
But the devil has done this job to where he doesn't want people to know that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is what you're talking about, Ed. People don't really understand. They don't really know.
They don't understand how Jesus lived on this earth, how God used him. And it's so beautiful what God has done in sending us his son.
It is.
And the faith of Jesus, the faith and trust that he put in his father, And Hebrews says, I will put my trust in thee. Mm. I have come to do your will.
You know, and this is the same thing. We can have that relationship with God. We can have that same thing.
Through his son, yes.
Absolutely. And so what we need to do is, the only way that we can do that is we need to know what his word, the Bible. We should have a prayer life. And we just need to ask Christ to come into our hearts. Ask the Father to send the Spirit of his Son into our hearts.
Amen.
So that we can cry, Abba, Father.
Right.
Right? And this is a vital part of the gospel message that Jesus came to proclaim.
So, well, the verses you read
in James,
talked
James
about,
chapter
2. No, the ones before that about Jesus' healing. Talked about paralytics, right?
Yes, and that's in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 24, it says, I'll just read the verse.
Okay.
His fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them.
You know, paralytics can cover a vast different disease or injuries. You can have a spinal cord injury. It can be paralyzed. It can be a paraplegic, which is lower extremities. Quadriplegic, which can be involve your upper extremities and, you know, your trunk as well. You can have people have a stroke. They can be paralyzed on one side. You can have someone with a head injury. They can have the same. You can have someone born with CP or spina bifida and have paralyzing effects on their bodies. And so I want to read a story in Luke chapter 5.
Okay.
Starting with verse 17.
Matthew, Mark.
This is the modern King James. Luke chapter 5, verse 17.
This is an account, Ed. It's an
account,
not a story.
Yes. And it happened on one of the days, even he was teaching. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting by, who had come out of every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was there for the curing of them. And behold, men carrying on a cot a man who was paralyzed. And they sought to bring him in and to lay him before him. And not finding a way by which they might bring him through the crowd, going up on the housetop, they let him down through the tiles with his cot into the midst before Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? For who can forgive sins except God alone?" But knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, "Why do you reason in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise and take up your cot and go to your house." And immediately he rose up before them and took up that on which he lay, and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We saw wonderful things today."
That's amazing.
Can you imagine this crowd surrounding Jesus? People knowing not only his ability to heal people, but his words that he spoke, that his Father gave him to, were beautiful words to them. Multitudes were following him. And these men who were carrying their friend on a cot who was paralyzed, and they couldn't figure out how to get him into Jesus, so they went up on top of the house, tore apart the roof, and let him down into the midst of Jesus Christ. And what does Jesus say to him?
"Your sins are forgiven."
"Your sins are forgiven you." Maybe that's what this man was seeking.
You know,
forgiveness of sins.
Maybe so. You know, we all need that. We have to have that. I want to address this one. We don't have much time, but I just want to address this one statement where the Pharisee says, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?"
Yeah.
In verse 21. And some people use this to misrepresent who Jesus is.
Right.
But, you know, people say, well, see, Jesus couldn't forgive sins unless he was God. I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
So I take them to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And it makes it very clear. Jesus came and spoke, and he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Where did he get that authority? Who gave it to him?
From his Father.
From his Father. This is exactly what you've been talking about through this whole program, is that Jesus receives all things from his Father, that he receives strength from his Father. He received the Spirit from his Father.
He says, I live because of the Father.
And this is something that most Christians neglect to understand because they believe what their religious leaders are telling them.
They've been taught something different their whole life.
It's no different. The history repeats itself. What happens with the Pharisees? They didn't want to accept things.
Yeah. So here Jesus says, well, the Pharisees, were saying, he read their hearts, he read their minds. Mm-hmm. Who can forgive sins except God alone? And Jesus simply says, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk?
Yeah.
And to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on this earth, which you mentioned he got this authority from his Father.
Right.
I say unto you, arise and take up your cot and go to your house. And this man was healed, and he did what Jesus told him to do.
Sure. And Jesus didn't do anything that his Father wouldn't have him do.
Right.
So this is the kind of dependence we need to put on our Heavenly Father and his Son, that the things that we say, that we speak, that we do, come from them and not from within ourselves.
Right.
So, Ed, we're actually out of time already, so let's make a note for next week of where we are. We'll pick up where we left off, and we'll just do a brief review, and let's have a closing word of prayer, shall we?
Right.
Father in heaven, it's certainly a blessing to open your word and to see the things that you've provided, and especially the provision of your Son, to come here to live this life that he lived here on the earth, to teach us and instruct us and to help us to know that he has a Father, that you are his Father, and that you give him all authority. Father, help us to realize and recognize this. Help us not to live according to our own ways, according to our nature that we have now, but help us to live according to your word, according to your will. And Father, we just ask that you will continue to guide us by the Spirit of truth. And we ask for your blessing to be upon us until we come together again. We thank you for this time together, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ed, thanks again for leading this study. We look forward to next week, friends. We hope you'll tune in again next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.